Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, I could have let that kept going, and we definitely would have had all of y'all out there listening going crazy, I'm sure, but we don't want to do that because we have a special guest, and we want to give her a chance to come on here in a second and share with us her erotic side, and that is Miss Omega Keys. She'll be here in just a second, but before we get there, just want to let you know that I have a new book coming out next month, just in case you didn't know. And that book is called Seductive Company, and it's going to be dropping on the 19th of April, and we're going to get that out and get more information on that as well. So if you want to get into the corporate world, the sexual side of it, then you need to come and check it out. But without further ado, I want to go ahead and introduce my friend and as well as fellow author, Miss Omega Keys. How are you this evening? Hello?
Glass of wine.
Oh, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. How you doing?
Oh, I'm wonderful. With that music you were playing, maybe I should have had me a glass of wine sitting by.
Oh, you mean you didn't do that?
Oh, no.
You're supposed to be sitting there with a negligee on or something and just chilling. You know what I'm saying? That's what this is about, Word Sexy Radio. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So how you doing this evening?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing real good, and we're glad to have you on the show, and we want you to take this time right now to kind of introduce yourself and kind of let people know who you are and how you got into the literary game, especially in the erotic game of it, so, and then we'll start getting into some of your books and talking about some of your characters.
Okay. Well, for those who don't know you, I am Omega Keys, just like the end, instead of Omega, it is Omega. Erotic fiction author extraordinaire with 3 books out.
The Queen of Seduction.
Oh, yes, that's Miss Erica. Miss Erica is the Queen of Seduction. She just takes over.
Uh-huh. Well, tell us about your books. You have 3, you said.
Yes, Passionate Playmates, Seduction.com, and Can You Keep a Secret?
Well,
Passionate Playmates finds her as a youth, and Seduction is when she's grown up, and Can You Keep a Secret is about one of her actual workers.
Uh-huh. So tell us about that a little bit. How did you get into the literary game, especially how did you get into the genre of erotica?
Well, back in 2002, I kind of ran across one of Zane's books, and I was hooked. But my mother, she raised me to be, like, just open and free with everything that I do, and so that's just something that caught me. I mean, I used to write a lot of, you know, short stories and things like that, just about things going on around me, but I mean, the erotica is something that just hit me. I was like, well, if I wasn't in the military, what would I be doing?
Uh-huh.
Hey, that's the way to make money, so.
So what would you be doing if you weren't in the military? Okay.
Since
you said that.
If I was in the military, I think I would be Miss Erica, because Miss Erica has it going on. She is a businesswoman. She owns an online cam site and a club in town where she gets to seduce men and just let it all hang out. I think I could do that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds pretty good. You know, you got that fantasy that you want to get into, and that's really good, though. And, you know, me spending time myself in the military, I did 22 years in there myself, and I guess I had to wait till I got out myself so I can get loose. So that's why I'm loose now. So,
hey,
you know,
sometimes you have to have the alter ego.
That's right. And you can do that. So, you know, I like that. So Miss Erica, tell us about Miss Erica.
Oh, Miss Erica is a feisty one. She's about business. You know, she knows that sex sells, sex makes money, and she's all for turning the men on and leaving them hanging and walking away, taking their money and walking.
So how much of that is you? Because, you know, everybody asks that question. I know you get that all the time when you do book signings and all kinds of stuff. How much of this is you in the books?
I believe that whatever you do behind closed doors, that is your business.
That's a closet freak. There you go. That's what I wanted to hear. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, whatever you do behind closed doors, you write. So then developing this character, I mean, of course, like I said, you've probably done some traveling since you've been in the service. And I thank you for your service that you're doing for us, first of all. And so you've had a chance to see some things. I'm sure you've been probably over in Germany and a few places, you know, like maybe Amsterdam or something. And maybe you caught your eye on a few things you saw over there. What about that?
Actually, I haven't been over there. The only place I've really been to was Argentina and to Turkey. I'm not going to sit there and pretend I've even had the pleasure of serving in the war on terrorism. I'm a personnel services. I send them over, but I have not been over there to actually fight in it.
But that's okay. We ain't talking about that. We're trying to get your experiences on you know, the seductive side of Miss Omega Keys. That's what I'm trying to find out.
Oh, okay. Well, my seductive side didn't come from there. My seductive side My seductive side came from me being nosy and going up in them clubs, because I had to see. I had to know what was going on.
So what was that experience? Tell us about that. Do tell.
Oh, well, I mean, at first, when you first walk in there, of course you're going to be a little bit nervous because, you know, you're like, it's something new to you, but you know, you get used to it. The girls like talking to you and open up to you and try to give you dances and everything. You have to know, you have to get into it to write about it. So
I know that's right. Well, you know, we have something in common then, because you know, I have to experience that myself, and I enjoy that, going out and checking out those scenes and then bringing a story back, because that's what it's all about, you know, to try to get the experience. And a lot of people think that you have to do all the things that you write about, but that's why it's called fiction. It's not necessarily that you do it all. It's just that you want to go out there and you know, get a piece of it so that you can bring it back and make it as real as possible. What do you think about that?
I think that's what you should do. Sometimes, I mean, to really get the true grasp of what's going on for people to believe you, you need to get out there and know exactly what they're doing. Now, I'm not saying if you're writing about drugs, go try out some drugs. No.
But, No,
but
I understand
you need
that.
To get into that.
Right, right. So how did you come up with the development of the first book, which one was the first one?
Passionate Playmates.
Okay, let's talk about Passionate Playmates. I love the name, first of all.
Well, Passionate Playmates came about because I seen something on the news about these lingerie modeling clubs that they had in town, and they were going through on this big thing on shutting them down. And before they got to shutting them down, I slid up inside to see what was going on.
So when you slid in, what did you find out?
I just love the whole setup, you know, of these houses and the women come out, kind of like the Bunny Ranch. The women come out and, you know, they show you, you know, do a little lineup and you pick which girl you want and you go back to a back room and, you know, you just get a little dance or whatever. I'm quite sure it was some other things that may have been going on up in there, but they weren't doing that to me. But
that's fine.
Yeah.
We understand that. So you just wanted to go in there. You was intrigued. And how did, okay, you say Zane kind of helped you in your decision. So was it something that was in the book that intrigued you, that you wanted to do it, or did you felt that the stories were, not that they weren't good, because, you know, Zane is good, but not that they weren't good, but you felt like you could probably do something better or bring more to the table by bringing your style of erotica?
I just wanted to tell it, but just in a different way. I mean, Zane, I love her, but she just gets right into it and smacks you with the sex right off the beginning. I wanted to give more of a background story of my characters and why they're in the situations that they're in to be working up in the adult industry.
Because you can open up a Zane book and they're fucking, you know, just in the beginning. Dick is in pussy. You know, it's already going on. You know, just, yeah, I got you. Well, you know, I got a book. Well, some of mine start kind of like that, but what I like to do is when I write my books like that, if it starts like if it's a sex scene and whether it's good or bad, I might have it start that way, but then I'll have to take the characters and take the audience that's reading back to the beginning, how they got to this point, and then bring them to that again so they can, you know, kind of come back around to how they actually got to this point. So,
right.
You know, that's good. And like you said, I haven't read a lot of her stuff. I read some of her stuff. I haven't read a lot of it. But you know, a lot of people, you know, they love her. But like you said, that's why we're here, to bring out different aspects of erotica. It doesn't have to always be the same. And my focus is to try not to make it like porn, because people can get it mixed up with porn. And erotica is not porn, even though the sex is detailed and hot and it's supposed to get you there. But it's supposed to be some type of a storyline or something that's behind it that takes it apart from that. And I think you do that. So.
Well, actually, in Passionate Playmates, there's actually not a lot of physical sex even going on. It's just the art of getting the man to that point, the arousal and all that comes along with it.
Right.
So she's not actually having sex with him. It's just the industry. You know, her working up in a club, getting them turned on. The men are sitting there getting butt naked, and she, you know, she's getting all their money from them, letting them think, yeah, I'm going to get it. And then the buzzer rings, and she's out the door with their cash.
Wow. That's dangerous. Does she get in a situation or something of that nature where dudes is like wanting to, look, you going to give me some, or, you know, where they waiting on her outside? Or she's smarter than that.
Yeah, she's very smart. But, I mean, if you're ever going to be in the industry, it's always going to be a risk, because you're always going to have nutcases. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, she was more concerned with her girls. I mean, you know, the people working with her, that, hey, you don't have to sleep with these men to get that money.
Mm-hmm. She was getting them all to fall into her game, and they was doing it, and then the guys was getting upset because they couldn't get none of them. Damn, she was cock blocking.
Hey, some women follow along and some follow by the wayside. And I say, if you're gonna be a hoe, be the best hoe that you can be.
That's right. That's right. You should do that. If that's what you're gonna do, be the best damn hoe you can be. If you know, just whatever, you know. So that's right. So now, is this a series that you have, the three books, or are they all separate stories? Because I know you said something earlier about this Passionate Playmates, and then I think you said
Seduction.com.
Is that like part two? Okay.
Yeah,
so
Seduction.com is part two. Seduction.com, uh-huh. Well, the club gets shut down, so Erica decides, well, before the club gets shut down, Erica decides she's going to go ahead and try to take, you know, her business nationally, which is the online cam websites,
uh-huh.
where, you know, she could be sitting in her room in some lingerie and doing a show for men all across the nation. So instead of getting
right.
paid by one man, she could have 1,000 online at the same time.
Wow. Damn, she must be cold.
Oh, yes, she is.
She must be cold, man. I mean, does she look anything like you?
I would say she looks a lot like me.
Yeah, there we go.
Because everybody that looks at that cover thinks that it's me, but I cannot confirm or deny.
Yeah, I got you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so because I'm sure that when you have the cover up on your site, people holler at you and think that's you and they want to get with you and all that, I'm sure.
Yeah, it happens, but, you know, you have to separate the two. The author is completely separate from the characters.
Of course. Well, I'm definitely not my characters. So most of the characters in my book, you know, there's a lot of women. There's men in there, but, you know, I just like creating that world and going into it for a little while, and then when I'm ready to come back, I can come back. But I just love
mm-hmm.
being in it because it's so easy to do it, and you can create it and have people. I like getting people hot. I want them to get to a point where they're wanting to read it with their mate, or they can read it alone, or whatever they want to do, and enjoy what they're reading. So that's why I try to put, you know, twists and turns, lots of them, in the story. And I'm sure you do that as well. And I'm definitely going to have to get more. Well, I want signed copies from you, so we're going to have to work that out.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'll gladly get them to you.
Yeah, yeah. So, your third book, and then we're going to talk about what your future stuff is, because I know you got some new stuff coming out. But
always.
Before we get there, let's, yeah, so what's going on with the third book? What's the connection with the third book? What's the name of it?
Can You Keep a Secret? That
yeah.
is one of Erica's characters, Miss Monica. Miss poor
uh-huh.
little Monica, she was the ever-loving wife, you know. She, you know, was living an American dream with an entrepreneur uh-huh. for her husband, big
mm-hmm.
house. Kids, and you know, she was working at the human resources as a human resources manager, and she comes
uh-huh.
home to find herself a cheating, so she snaps and just goes from that uptight woman to loosey goosey and
damn,
just goes
so
out and try.
Damn, so she just went from the sweet wife to the hoe, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, she was going out. She was trying to figure out who she was, trying to find that inner woman. But, you know, along with that, you know, you can't do everything without consequences. But, you know, she was
right.
having a good time. She was having a good time doing it.
Right. Well, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, sometimes it's that way. And, you know, people find different ways of how to get back on people. And then this might have been something that she just wanted to do anyway, and this was just an outlet for her to do it.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, I wrote the book because at the time I was going through a divorce, and, hey, that's why some of my emotions are so raw within this book with some of the things that are going on with her, because
mm-hmm.
it was me letting go of all the anger and everything that I was actually dealing with, and that's how I got through it, by writing this book. Of course, I couldn't go out and act like Monica at the time because, you know, unfortunately, I still wear that uniform, but...
Right. Boy, I tell you what, I'd be glad when you get out, because I want to see you when you get out, because I want to see how freaky you're going to get, because you keep talking about that uniform is holding you back, and I think that
okay.
you just want to let that freak loose, don't you?
Well, technically, my last day wearing it was August, but this coming November will be my last day on the books. So
I know that's right. So is this retirement
yeah.
or just ETS?
It is for a disability. Yeah.
Oh,
got
okay.
A little nerve. Got a little nerve damage, but it's all good.
But you all right, baby. You still fine, so you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
And I mean that literally. Because I know how you look, so I know. For those of you who don't know, she's a very beautiful woman, so you might as well check her out. But if anybody has any questions out there, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we're talking to Miss Omega Keys, and she is getting us to the point where we're going to start talking about her new stuff now. So what you got new coming out?
Right now I am working – oh, before I get to that, I did just I did a little snippet in an anthology dedicated to bullying and suicide awareness called Unloved. I wrote it with six other authors, and all the proceeds go to charity because, I mean, I don't think anybody should ever have to deal with bullying.
Right. Well, we'll definitely give you a chance to announce that again and tell people how they can get to that site, and if they want to donate some monetary or whatever they can donate to contribute to that cause, we'll definitely have you do that because we're going to tell people how they can get your books as well. But so now how do we get into this new segue into the new stuff from that? But anyway, go ahead.
The new stuff that I'm working on, Shattered, which is the Secrets Between Sisters.
Mm.
It's about these twins that are, you know, struggling with each other because one of them is just, I mean, just think of the most insane woman who doesn't care, who sleeps with anybody, everybody. She don't care if it's the boss, the janitor, the whoever to get to where she wants. And because they look alike, the other one is suffering from it.
Because they can't tell them apart, so... She's getting some of the stuff too. They hollering at her, "Come on, girl! Don't you did this last night? Why you can't do it now?"
Mm-hmm, one of those kind of exactly. Deals. Yeah.
Mm, okay.
But there's a lot of twists and turns, you know, in there.
Wow. Well, that sounds pretty good. So when is that going to drop?
As soon as I finish writing it.
Okay.
You know how we get sometimes, you know, with our writing, we start, you know, writing. I'm basically at the end of it, but my mind goes, you know, all over the place. So I always have to stop because something else that may not necessarily go within that story, but I have to go ahead and write that down too.
Right, I understand, because you want to put that somewhere else because it'll fit somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And
wow.
I also do young adult books, which I use a pen name for that, Key Rollins, and I actually did release a young adult novel, which is called The Baby Girl, but I had to use a pen name because I don't want people to get confused, you know, with the hot and sexy books, and then they pick up Baby Girl, which is more toned down because I wrote it for girls dealing with peer pressure, you know, sex, peer pressure in high school and how she's handling that and her friends as well.
Well, that sounds like it's pretty good, too. Now, I never got to that point. I might maybe write a book. Well, I don't know how I could do that because I like to throw it all in there. But it wouldn't be for the kids if I did. I don't know how. You know, I have to think about that. Because that's why I don't think I could even write Christian fiction because, you know, you have to tone it down so much. Even though Christian fiction, to me, is just a watered-down erotica most of the time. You know, it's, you know, Reverend Cucumber messing with Sister Peach Cobbler or something, you know, and they're doing this and then, you know, whatever, but it's still, the only thing that makes it Christian fiction most of the time is because it's people's titles or what they're doing in church, but, you know, to me, it's still sex. So, I mean, what's
the difference? They're doing behind closed doors.
Right.
Hey,
yeah. You know.
Same thing.
Yeah. So that book, so that's what you're working on now. That's going to be coming out, and you said the young adult book is already out right now.
Well, it will be released next month, but I think it's on ebook. I think the ebook came out this week or the week before, but the paperback will actually be out next month.
Okay, and are you doing this under your own company, or are you doing this through another company?
Oh, I'm up under Passionate Writer Publishing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right, man. I like that you're taking different genres and different ways of taking your writing and, you know, giving yourself a challenge of writing different things instead of just always writing. Cause, you know, because a lot of people think that, you know, you have to stay in one genre. But, you know, I also write paranormal, so I do a little of that. But, I mean, there's some sex in that too. But it's still being able to write paranormal is a different type of writing because you still got to have some type of, you know, some kind of ghost or some type of vampire or some type of werewolf or something, you know, that's in that. So, So you have that challenge as well as the sexual piece. And, you know, I think that's pretty good, too. I've been working with that. And I wrote one book called Curse of the Nocturnal Seductress under another pen name called R.J. Leonard. But it had Red Snapper writing as R.J. Leonard, so people would know what to expect. So it was kind of like that. But, you know, and that's a series that's going to be going because people have been getting into that, too. So I'm going to do that. And then I have another one that's coming out here sometime probably the middle of the year here, called The Peculiar Ones, which is a vampire story, but the twist is it's back during slavery. It starts out during the slavery times, and the slaves are the actual vampires, and, you know, what happened was they were, you know how the tribes were fighting, you know, before they were actually captured and brought to the United States. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of tribes that was fighting each other, and one tribe was trying to fight the other because they were getting, you know, they were being their feast. So they didn't tell the guys that they were selling, you know, the white men that they were selling their slaves to, that these people were peculiar. So they ended up bringing them back to the United States, and then one thing leads to another, of course, and then they're going around and they're killing folks, and they don't know why, you know, people are falling out, or people are dying, or whatever. These vampires just going around doing their thing. But those that are listening, if you want to get that, that's coming out sometime around the end of summer or in the summertime. So,
interesting.
But yeah, I mean, and yours definitely does too. So how can people get, if they want to get your books or anything, how can they get them?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, you blanked out for a minute. But, my books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Shoot, you can go to the libraries and ask them to order it for you, or you can go to PassionateWriterPublishing.com.
Okay. So how have you been doing any book signings or anything lately, or where are you going to be? Are you going to be doing any traveling?
Oh, yeah. I just came back from the Expo for Women up in South Bend, Indiana. This past weekend, had a great time up there with those ladies. In 2 weeks on the 19th, I will be out with Mr. Cyrus Webb, who does the Conversations live radio. I will be doing a 3-stop tour down there in Mississippi. And then I'll be doing the Arkansas Literary Festival, Harlem, the Baltimore Book Fest, Chicago Printers Row. I'm trying to be all over the place this year.
Well, that's good, and that's good, and that's what you got to do, because for those of you that are listening that are thinking about getting to the literary game, you definitely have to sell yourself, because the brand is you, and when you get with these companies, they don't, you know, they'll do a little marketing, but they don't do it all. You have to get out there yourself and hustle. As you hear Ms. Key saying here, you got to get out there, and you definitely got to, you know, let people know that you exist, and the personality that you show is what's going to make them want to buy your books. If you're out there being, like some people get out there and they be arrogant or whatever, and they, you know, I guess because they've arrived, I guess. So, you know, they can afford to lose a few people because they got everybody on them, you know. But then you got some like us that's struggling trying to make it, you know. we just love writing, and we want to do this for our fans, and we do it because we love doing it. We want to be nice to you and let you know that we care about you, so, you know, because we care about what you think.
Yeah, you know, I met Terry Morrison Mary B. Morrison at an event.
Right.
And as many books as she have out, one of the ways she addressed herself is that she was still up and coming.
Yeah, that's good.
I really appreciate that because, you know, she lets you know it doesn't matter. If you arrive, you could just fall off just like anybody else.
Exactly. All it takes is one book to not sell and they'll drop you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm glad she has that attitude, because I didn't think she was a mean person anyway. But there are some that
wonderful.
Are out there. There are some that's out there, and I'm not mentioning no names, but there are some that I've met in the past and in my walk in this game that are, I mean, they may have a New York Times best-selling book or something, or they've been around and people is really into them, and they'll turn into this person, you know, that they kind of forget, okay, I'm this person, so you have to kiss my butt or whatever, and you're not really like me, so I'm there and you're trying to get here, and you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, but that's in any industry. You got some folks like that. So, but
yeah.
you can't let that stop you. You have to continue to go forth. And if you believe in you and your writing, and you know that you're doing this for, you know, the money's good, but if you're doing it because you love it and you want to get it out there to the people and to the masses for them to read it and learn about what you're doing, then that's what it should be about anyway. It shouldn't be about other authors. So.
Right.
But that's good. So how was that? You said you went to the conference and you met her. Where did you meet her at?
I met her down actually at the North Carolina Literary Festival last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a nice little event down there. She showed up. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. She let us pick her brain for a little bit.
Okay. Did she do her little lingerie thing that she always does? Like, I think it's like a... Not like a passion party, but she usually has some type of deal where you come in your pajamas and she sits there and you kind of read and stuff like that. She sometimes do that. She do that?
No, she didn't do that at this one. She just did a reading,
uh-huh.
And let everybody ask her questions, and then she did some one-on-one time with people as well.
That's good. I'm glad that she. See, now I definitely want. I have not had the opportunity to meet her, but I definitely would like to. Because, you know, like I said, that's good to hear that she's not one of those ones that you can't approach. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But so you got this new book coming in. What else is new for you? What you got? What's in the workings for you?
I'm still just working on those stories. I have a lot of untitled stories that I've been working on as well. You know, titles that, you know, you're fumbling with. One is Girl Get Off Welfare, but I'm going to change the title, but it's dealing with these four characters that are dealing with different aspects of the welfare system. Like, one of them actually works in the welfare office as a counselor in
mm-hmm.
there. And then some of the people that are on it aren't your typical people that are on it. It was somebody that was so used to being taken care of by her husband, and then he left her.
Oh, man.
And then she was stuck. But I did the reverse. It was I did it with the white lady married to the black man, and he left her for a black woman.
Wow, that's
and then
different.
She was stuck. Yeah, then she's stuck to being on welfare. And, you know, it's just a different aspect about that.
Yeah, because, you know, it's always the other way. It's always, you know, the opposite. He leaves and goes along with the... you know, the opposite. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And then
I definitely would
like
to see how that's going to go. Go okay.
Right.
Go ahead.
One of the other characters in it is actually, she's not on welfare. She's a nurse, but she's the only person in her family that's a professional, and her whole family is generation to generation to generation of women being on welfare. So they're looking at her like, what is wrong with you?
Oh, dang. Because they praise
her down
references.
Yeah, they like, girl, I couldn't get up there and go to work every day. I couldn't do that, you know.
Oh, man,
but the sad part
like
is
back.
I have seen that. I've seen it time and time again, and it's just like, wow. So I'm definitely putting it out there.
Wow. Well, that sounds like back when I was growing up, back in the 60s and 70s, actually in the 70s when I was a little older. That was the big thing, you know, the old welfare system that was going on at the time was, you know, the more kids you had, the more money you got, and then the baby daddy
mm-hmm.
would show up around the first, he'll stick around until about the third, and then you don't see him no more until the next first when they got more coming in. So,
right.
Yeah. So that sounds like that. So, you know, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And that's still going to have my erotic side of that in there, dealing their men in their lives. I can't get away from it.
Yeah, you definitely got to have that in there, you know, talking about how he comes in here, you know, and tells, girl, come on in here. And, you know, the kids is out there, you know, they buy some bologna and feed him some bologna and then give him the rest of the money and You know, that's how I used to see. I mean, I used to see that when I was growing up. A lot of people, they would give the guy all this stuff, and then he would go whatever, and you know, she'd be stuck with nothing until the next month, and he'll stay with her for a couple of days, and then when she's broke again, and he'll leave. You know, that kind of thing. My baby
if you
mama, she got paid.
Facebook posts are still like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yep, you're right about that. You're definitely right about that. So, but yeah, so you know, like I said, that's interesting, very interesting. And you know, I definitely want to see how you take that and how you move that around and get that going. So, but listeners out there, if you have any questions for our guests, you know the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we're talking to our guest, Miss Amiga Keys, who has given us her background and things of what she's doing. So, and it sounds pretty good. I like some of the stories that she's got coming up. So have you thought about bringing any more of your characters from any of your other books out into their own, or did you think about maybe doing any more sequels to what you have already, or you just kind of want to let them kind of mellow and then go into some new things?
There's one character up in from the Passionate Playmate series. This character, I call her, she's like a little Foxy Brown type character. I think I wanted to dive, you know, more into her character because she's basically a woman in the industry that has been in it way past her time.
Right. That kind of reminds me of this one stripper I know who's been stripping. She's like 51 now, and she's been stripping everything all her life. Still in the game. I mean, but her body looks good and everything for a 51-year-old woman, but she's still on the pole, and she's teaching all the girls how to dance, and she's, of course, the best on the pole, and they're all trying to be like her. And I'm not going to mention her name because she might be listening to the show, and I don't want to say but, yeah, so that's interesting. So do you like write all your stories in the now, or do you kind of have them in different times in you know, like maybe in the 60s, 70s, 90s? Do you take any of your stories and kind of put them in different eras of time, or?
Well, I'm more of a now person.
Uh-huh.
I'm more in the now because, you know, some stuff when I start writing it in the past, I get confused and end up saying that their cell phone rang, and I'm talking about the 80s. So,
okay.
It's best for me not to do that because I have a lot of going back and forth and trying to, you know, catch those little things, and I wouldn't want my editor going off on me about that.
Right, I understand. Okay. So how is it writing for the company you write for? Do they give you a lot of latitude, or do they try to do they stop your creative abilities? It doesn't sound like it.
No, they let them flow. I mean, I get critiques back on areas where, you know, once I'm done with the manuscript and I submit it, that, you know, it could use improvement or something that I thought clearly flowed together that it didn't, like, you know, somebody on the outside that's not used to reading that they just didn't quite get it, you know. So things like that to touch upon because, you know, I'm talking to you, I might say something and you clearly understand it, but somebody that's not used to erotica, not used to it, they just, you know, they don't get it. And other things, you know, I just simply have to explain to them, you know, certain phrases and things that people use in the industry or, you know, just black people in general sometimes that,
right,
you know,
right.
As long as you give them an explanation on it, you know, they're pretty good about that.
Well, that's good. That's good. Because, you know, a lot of companies, companies do not want to do that, but that's good that they're open with you and they let you have your flow and you explain to them why you did it a certain way. That's good because a lot of times they look at how much money they're going to make or if it's going to sell, and then they might, you know, tell you, well you should change this. Well, how, do they have any say as far as the covers and stuff like that?
I mean, they can do whatever to my covers. If they do whatever they feel is going to sell, and I'm fine with that because I can be partial. I mean, because I wrote it, I can be super, super partial to something, but that doesn't mean it's going to sell. And from what I've seen from all the covers that I've seen they've done, I mean, I love them. It's something that stands out. And from me being at events, with when I've been in events that I've had all the other authors there, because that's what they do. When they set up events, they set it up for, you know, all the books are going. you know, to these events. And that's one compliment that gets told, you know, to me when I'm at the table time and time again. These covers stand out. We love the covers.
Well, that's good. And I've seen them. I have at least seen the covers, and they are good. That's why I was asking, you know, how much did you have and as far as that, the way they set that up, so.
Oh, well, I'm happy because I was with another publisher, and I've seen the cover that they did, the first publisher that I was with, that name should I not speak, but
right.
That first publisher that I was with, that book cover, it can be seen on Amazon.com, and you will clearly see the difference that that is not the one.
Okay, well, can you tell us which book it is?
it's on Seduction.com. The woman looks like she's at a flapper house or something. That had nothing on the cover says seduction at all.
Right.
Yeah,
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I've seen that cover. Yeah, I have seen that cover. Was the lady's like laying down looking, I guess, looking at the audience that's looking at the cover or whatever, yeah.
She looks pretty bad on there. It's like a black and I don't know whatever photo, no color to it, no nothing that makes you want to pick it up and buy it at all.
Mm.
So, but you know, hey, good thing is some publishers are greedy and you can always botch contracts.
right, yeah. Well, that's good. So, can you kind of give them, you have your own website, so can you kind of tell people how they can go to your website, or if they wanted to have you come in for a book signing or something, how could they get you to do that?
Oh, they can contact me on my website at omegakeys.com. That's OmegiaKeyes. And if any signers or anything on there, I have a contact me page up on there. Or you can contact the publisher directly, which is PassionateWriterPublishing.com, and they have a contact me page as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you already kind of said where you were going to be at, so if you'd like, man, you can go over that again and kind of tell people, you know, some of the places you're going to be, because they might, you know, you might be in a town near them where they can actually come and meet you. Because I know that after you've been on this show, you know, people hear you talk and they know that you are an open-minded and likable person, so we definitely want them to be able to be able to see you wherever you're going to be at. So can you kind of give them that?
Yep, and on the 19th, I will be down in Mississippi, in Brandon, Mississippi, with Mr. Cyrus Webb. I don't have exact locations yet, but it's supposed to be three stops down there, I think, at some bookstores. In April, at the Arkansas Literary Festival down in Little Rock, Arkansas. And, oh, I forgot, the Dayton, Ohio Book Festival on April 30th as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I will be in Harlem at the Chicago Literary Festival, at the Philadelphia Book Festival, which I think that's in April as well. Lord, I'm going to be busy.
So, when you do the Harlem deal, is that the Harlem Book big deal that they have every year, the Harlem Book Fest? Or?
Yes, that's the one.
Okay. Yeah, that's when all the vendors are outside and everybody's all over the place and you'll see everyone, yeah. Okay, well, that's good. That's a hard one to get, so that's really good if you get to get up there and do that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was also thinking about the Fall Into Books Literary Conference, but I haven't confirmed on that just yet.
Well, you should, because I'm going to be there at that one. And that,
oh.
I'm going to be there, and I know Tanisha. The girl who is the president of that book club, and we was there last year with a few people. We had Eric Jerome Dickey and Trice Hickman. It was a few of us there, and it was a great time.
Oh, okay.
So if you decide to come on down, then that'd be great.
Okay.
That'd be definitely great if you come on to St. Louis, and that's in September, the 16th through the 18th, I believe, that weekend. So.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be there for that one, so.
Okay, well, I might just be there then. You might have just tilted the scale a little bit more.
Yeah, come on, because I want to see you in person anyway. I definitely want to see you in person anyway, so you need to come on and just show on up. Let Red Snapper have his way. No, I'm just playing. No, but you know, just come on down and check us out.
How much you paying?
How much? Well, hey, I tell you what.
How much you paying? No, I'm just playing.
Okay,
people.
You tell Erica. Come on, son. We'll talk about that. If Erica needs some money, we might be able to hook her up. Hey, you know, Red ain't ashamed. You know, he'll do it. So, but that's all right. But yeah, do you have anybody that you like want to give any like shout outs to, or anybody that you want to thank for getting you where you are? I mean, do you have an agent?
No, I don't have an agent.
Okay.
Not at all. And I mean, and I'm fine with that. I have
yeah.
a problem. Nobody can promote me better than me.
That's right. Yeah. And I believe that. That's why I would just ask, because, you know, some people, they do the agent thing, and some, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of companies won't talk to you unless you got an agent. It just depends on who it is, and I was just wondering if you had one. But, you know, I'm the same way. I don't have an agent either, so I just do my thing, and I just get out there. And, you know, like you said, who can sell you better than yourself? So
mm-hmm.
you just have to be able to just get out there, because the hustle is you anyway. You got to
right.
do it. Your agent's not going to hustle you. You know, you got to get out there and get people to know who you are and get you to that point. So that's what it's about. So, but yeah, you should come on down and have a good time with us, because I forget who was all going to be there. There's going to be some authors there, but I can't remember who was all on the plate to be there. I'm not a featured author, but I'm coming anyway because it's close to home, and you know, try to get around. And the last one was here in Kansas City, so I was right here, and it was in the backyard. But yeah, it's gonna be really nice. And I think we had Pink. She was here. I don't know if you know Arthur Pink.
Yes, I do.
She was here, and who else was here? There was Rashonda Tate Billingsley. She was here, and then
okay. I met
Victoria.
Her like
awesome.
Her.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. they were here. It was a few authors here. And everybody's got their own thing, so you know, their own way. But I had a good time because Eric is my frat brother, so we was hanging out and stuff and everything. So we had a good time. And
I would like to pick his brain.
Yeah, you can. I don't know if he's coming back again.
Oh, I love I love his books, and I love all the chaos that he has in his books. Sometimes I just want to know how he can manage all that chaos.
I don't know, but you know, he's such a nice, mild-mannered person. You'd be like, where is this coming from? You know, but you know, to know him in person, he's such a nice person. You know, I mean, he's not arrogant. He's approachable. He'll talk to you. He doesn't act like he's all that because he's a New York Times bestseller. I mean, even though he is, and you know, he's got all these women on him, but you know, he doesn't act like he's, you know, I'm the man and I'm the shit and nobody can talk to me. But you know. He doesn't act like that. He's really, really down to earth. That's what I like about Eric, you know.
Oh, that's great.
I could call him right now on the phone and say, hey, Eric, what's up? And he'll tell me, I'm fine. You know, he's always in the Bahamas somewhere, but, you know, that's where he does all his writing and stuff. He'd be down in those little areas like that and gets his inspiration that way. But mm-hmm. you know, he's a nice person. So if you get a chance to meet him, you know, do that. If you get in line, because there's always going to be some groupie that's going to be there trying to get in the way. And it's a bunch of women, you know, trying to get up on him. But anyway, that's the way it is for some of us. I mean, I don't have that yet, but I guess one day.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
I know. I got to get big, though. I'm not big enough. People don't know Red Snapper like that yet. But,
well, they will. They will. You keep it
yeah.
up and they will, because it's all about, like you said, like I said earlier, nobody mm-hmm. can promote you like you, and this is
yeah.
how we do it. So
exactly.
we're going to be there.
Yeah, and I know you are too, because like I said, your books. But I got to get them. I'm going to, on Facebook, I'm going to get you my address, because I need to get those. And I'm going to definitely make sure you get some of mine. And if you're interested in the new stuff that's coming, like I said, Seductive Company is coming out. I did that actually with a porn star. This might pull me over the top. I wrote with Sexy India. I don't know if you know any of the women in the industry. She's a former porn star. That was the 90s, late 80s, 90s. She was in the game then. And now she's dabbling in a few things. And I convinced her some kind of way to get into writing, because she wasn't going to do it. And then she kind of got into it. And now she's hooked. So now here we are. We got this book coming out next month, Seductive Company. So we're going to get that out there. And we'll get it out there and let everybody check it out. And hopefully they'll like it. She's supposed to be giving some chocolates or something to go with her or something like this. And she's chocolate women, you know, chocolate female. And the sexy sexual chocolate stuff, you know, that goes along with that. Yeah, something about chocolate that gets me, I tell you. Anyway, but we were just definitely glad to have you on the show. Now, is there anything else you want to say or tell us about before we get ready to go? We got about 10 minutes, so we got some time.
I'd like to thank everybody that supported me through this. And thanks, everybody, for supporting me and continuing to support me without judging me. And if you did judge me, you kept it to yourself because you know that I really don't care. But
right. That's good.
You should know
That's
by
good.
Now I'm still silly. I'm still the same me. I still have jokes. So
that's right. But, you know, you can't worry about it. At first, when I first got into the game, I used to worry about, oh, people ain't reading my stuff. They don't like it. What's wrong with my stuff? You know, sometimes you get like that because you see everybody else is moving up and you're like, oh, what's happening? How come nobody wants? But, you know, I had to tell myself it's not about that. It's about me just writing because I love it and I want to get it out there and you know, just get as much as I can out there. So
right. That's
what I want to do.
At one point, I was concerned with my first book, you know, like, what would my mother say or something like that. And then when my mother read it and was like, where's the rest? Then I knew that I was okay. Yeah. So
well, if
my mama doesn't have a problem with it, I can care less what anybody else thinks.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's good to have that support base, and, you know, that's what it's about, you know, to get your family, even though it's erotica. And, you know, just because, you know, I've had people, I think the oldest person that read one of my series, matter of fact, she read the whole series, was in her 80s, and she loved it. She told me, you know.
Oh, old folks love them books.
You know, they love
the
stuff.
Them.
You know, they sure do. And she was telling me how she really enjoyed all the story and the twists and turns and everything. And, you know, she's sitting there and nothing to do but just, you know, and her old husband was there and she probably did some stuff with him, you know, whatever. But you know, that's life. You know what I'm saying? You know, just because you're a certain age don't mean you got to stop fucking. You know, everybody just think that you get to a certain age, you don't do it no more. Or they can't see their parents doing that now. Oh, my parents is
too old. Oh, well, whatever.
How the hell did you
it.
Get here? Hell.
Well, I got it from somewhere. That's what I need to tell you. I got it from somewhere. And one of my best readers was this lady being wheeled in by her daughter. Her daughter looked like she was in her 70s, so the mama definitely had to be at least in her 90s, and she rolled up next to me, and she said, baby, is that smut up in there?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. She was like, good, and she snatched that book up and was so happy. And she also won one of my baskets of passion that I get, like, when I do live readings and signings, I make these baskets of passion that has all these wonderful gifts and toys and lotions and oils that you can just have a good old time with your mate or by yourself.
I know that's right. That's what it's all about.
Yes.
Yeah. So look, you made up your mind yet? Am I going to see you in St. Louis? You need to make up your mind.
I am 90% there.
Okay.
I have to check my schedule, make sure that nothing else is conflicting with it, and I'm 90% there.
Well, let me know if you decide, okay? And we'll definitely hook up and, you know, have some fun. Because that's what we want to do. So, but we thank you very much for coming on the show, and we definitely want to you know, just keep up with you, and when your books come out, we want to definitely have you back on when you have your new stuff come out. So we definitely want to keep in touch with you, okay?
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
No
problem. I had a
really
good time.
I'm glad you did, and like I said, you know, tell people one more time, you got about 5 minutes, how they can get your books again.
Okay, just Barnes & Noble, Amazon, any online bookstore, or the brick-and-mortar stores where you can go in and ask them for it. They're even in certain libraries that aren't scared to hold erotica. They're there. You just have to ask for them, people. There's nothing wrong with going there and asking them for the book and having them order it for you.
That's
or
right.
You can get them off of PassMeAWriterPublishing.com.
I know that's right. Well, thanks a lot for coming on, and definitely keep up with me and let me know what you're going to do, okay?
Okay.
All right, we'll be talking to you.
Okay, thank you. Have a good one.
All right, you too. And this has been Word Sexy Radio, and you've heard it right here, live. Until next time, we'll see you.